Bibles and turn with me to Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26. I appreciated Brother Caleb reading those verses, and I appreciate him picking that out this month and doing this for us. And I thought, because that's our memory verse, it'd be a good opportunity to preach on the sins of the tongue. The sins of the tongue. The title of the message is actually The Christian and His Tongue. The Christian and His Tongue. So let's go back to our memory verses again. Proverbs 26:20. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals, and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I pray that you would help us to control our tongues the way that you have shown us to control our tongue, and the way you controlled yours. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you would speak to each heart, each one of us have problems with our tongue. There's not one of us who can stand up and say, oh, I don't have any problem with my tongue. Oh, yes, we do. So, Lord, I pray that you would convict us where we need to be convicted, encourage us where we are doing right, and, Lord, give us the strength to control our tongue. Pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Go with me again, real quick, to James 3. James 3. I'm not going to read the whole thing because Brother Caleb already introduced it, but I do want to read a few of the verses again. James 3, starting in verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. So we see how hard it is, first of all, but how important it is. We had better be able to bridle our body. If we can't bridle our body, we're in big trouble. Verse 3, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. You can burn down an entire forest, entire states of land with a little match. And so too you can ruin an entire testimony, you can ruin lives, you can destroy families with just a little sentence sometimes. Your tongue is very dangerous. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Skip down to verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. By ourselves, without the help of Jesus Christ, no man can tame their tongue. But we have the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus, dwelling within us. With Him, all things are possible, right? Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. That's a hard word to say. Similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. Oh dear. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. These things ought not so to be. The Christian and his tongue. We see that there is great power in the tongue for good or for evil, first of all. There's great power in the tongue for good or for evil. And we see in these verses, we see a lot of what the evil is. We can destroy lives, destroy testimonies. Let's look at some other verses that show the power of the tongue. And I hope you got your fingers all nimbled up, because we got a lot of verses to look at. I'm not going to make you turn to every one. I'll read some of them off my notes. But to begin with, go to Proverbs, please. And we'll be in Proverbs a lot today. Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11. And this message, I intended it just to be a one week thing, because I just wanted to hit our memory verse and expound on our memory verse really good, and then move on to what the Lord has next for us. But after beginning this study, it's going to be 2 weeks. It's going to be half the month here just to go over our memory verse. But anyway, Proverbs 11 and verse 9. 11:9. An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Your mouth, your tongue can destroy the person next to you. Utterly destroy them. Okay? Proverbs 12. The power of the tongue, for good or for evil. Proverbs 12, verse 13. And most of these verses are sharing the evil that the tongue can do. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. So we see, first of all, the wicked can be snared by the transgression of his lips. By what comes out of his lips, we become snared. But if what comes out of our lips is righteousness and justness, that will deliver us out of trouble. The righteous, the just shall come out of trouble. And then it says, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. The idea of the fruit of his mouth, it was good fruit of his mouth, okay? We know that whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap, right? And if we sow unrighteousness out of our mouth, well, we certainly wouldn't be reaping good fruit from that, would we? So it's a reference to he spoke good things. He spoke righteousness, and he's being blessed because of the end result. Maybe he has a lot of friends. Maybe he has children that are serving the Lord. A lot of fruit can come by speaking the righteous law of the Lord. Okay? Then Proverbs 12, verse 18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. But the tongue of the wise is health. The tongue of the wise is health. So we see here that the two opposite ends of the spectrum. We can use cutting speech that you may as well have slayed your neighbor, killed your brother, or whoever it is you're talking to. Cutting speech that cuts right to the heart of the person you are talking with. Or, of course, the opposite and what the Lord Jesus wants us to speak. Strengthening speech. Verse 18 again. The tongue of the wise is health. So you can destroy somebody to the point where they might take their own life because of what you said. Or you could, for instance, save someone who is about to do that. Your words could build them up and convince them not to take their life. And so it is health to them. But not only saving somebody from suicide, good gracious words actually affect our physical bodies. Gracious words actually strengthen the body, strengthen the heart. And they affect our actual health, just as the Bible says here. The tongue of the wise is health. Go to Proverbs 15. The power, we're talking about the power of the tongue, for good or for evil. Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. So you can be that which stops anger with the right words and a soft answer, or you can be that which adds fuel to the fire, like our memory verse is talking about. Adds fuel to the fire and stirs up anger. Proverbs 18, please. Proverbs 18 and verse 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. And this is either or. Either righteous, the righteous things that we reap, or it could be unrighteous things that we reap. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You're going to be full of it, whether you've sown good or you've sown evil. Your belly, in reference to your soul, your innermost person, is just going to be chock full of whatever it is you have sown in your life. Wicked words or righteous speech. You will be in sorrow. You'll have a bitter belly, if you will, if you have sown wicked words all your life. But you will have a satisfied soul, a blessed tummy, if you will, if you've sown righteous words. Proverbs 21, please. Proverbs 21. And verse 23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. You will save yourself from so much heartache and so many literal troubles in this life if you watch your mouth. If you watch your mouth. And if you don't, you're going to have a lot of bruises. Probably literal ones. A lot of bruisings to go through. Watch your mouth. Keep your tongue in check. And then, of course, we see James 3, verses 5 through 8. Even so, the tongue is a little member. You don't have to turn there again. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. You're going to go through great problems in life if you don't control your tongue. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body. Oh my. You can ruin your life. You can ruin your health even by what you say, by the words you speak. And the last verse in James 3 verse 8 that I want to look at. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Full of deadly poison. You can cause someone to take their life. You can cause someone to be so despondent by what you say that they will kill themselves. The power of the tongue. Incredibly powerful. It, like Brother Caleb said, it is your most powerful member of your body. The most powerful member of your body. We'd better learn to control our tongue. We can build somebody up and cause someone to be a great Christian by the encouragement we say. Or we can destroy them both physically and spiritually and ruin their life. Let me give you some famous quotes. So that's the power of the tongue, for good or for evil. Let me give you some famous quotes about the tongue. Some of these quotes, we don't know who said them. They're anonymous. Here's one that we don't know who said it. The tongue has no bones, but is strong enough to break a heart. So be careful with your words. The tongue has no bones, but is strong enough to break a heart. So be careful with your words. Another anonymous one. A broken bone can heal, but the wound a word opens can fester forever. A broken bone can heal, but the wound a word opens can fester forever. Thomas Watson said, God has given us two ears, but one tongue, to show that we should be swift to hear, but slow to speak. God has set a double fence before the tongue, the teeth and the lips, to teach us to be wary that we offend not with our tongue. A double fence. Thomas Watson. Another unknown one. The tongue is the only tool that gets sharper with use. The tongue is the only tool that gets sharper with use. Theodore Epp said, remember that the tongue speaks only what is in the heart. Remember that the tongue speaks only what is in the heart. That ought to convict every one of us. Benjamin Franklin said, a slip of the foot you may soon recover, but a slip of the tongue you may never get over. A slip of the foot you may soon recover, but a slip of the tongue you may never get over. Frank Sonnenberg said, it's better to bite your tongue than to eat your words. How true that is. It's better to bite your tongue than to eat your words. Francis de Sales said, nothing is more like a wise man than a fool who holds his tongue. Nothing is more like a wise man than a fool who holds his tongue. John MacArthur, he's a preacher today. I don't want to push him, but he said something good here. John MacArthur said, the tongue is you in a unique way. It is the tattletale on the heart and discloses the real person. Not only that, but misuse of the tongue is perhaps the easiest way to sin. There are some sins that an individual may not be able to commit simply because he does not have the opportunity. But there are no limits to what one can say, no built-in restraints or boundaries. In Scripture, the tongue is variously described as wicked, blasphemous, foolish, boasting, complaining, cursing, contentious, sensual, and vile. And that list is not exhaustive. No wonder God put the tongue in a cage behind the teeth walled in by the mouth, end quote. Thomas Fuller said, there is nothing that so much gratifies an ill tongue as when it finds an angry heart. There is nothing that so much gratifies an ill tongue as when it finds an angry heart. And this last one is anonymous. The Christian should learn two things about his tongue: how to hold it and how to use it. Boy, that's true. The Christian should learn two things about his tongue: how to hold it and how to use it. The tongue. And there's a connection. Second point this morning. There's great power in the tongue. There's a connection. Second point is there's a connection between the heart and our tongue. There's a direct link, like a string or a chain, going from our heart right to our tongue. Not literally, but spiritually. Turn to Matthew 12, please. Matthew 12. Watch out for what you say. Your mouth will tell on you. Matthew 12, verse 33. Jesus said, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. We are going to stand before Jesus, and every idle word, every just loose word that, oh, we weren't even talking to somebody. We're just talking to ourselves. Or maybe we were talking to somebody and we were just telling a story, blabbing away. Every idle word, Jesus said, we'll give account for before him. But there's a direct connection between the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Go forward three chapters. It's Matthew 15, please. Matthew 15. And looking at verse 18. Again, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll start in verse 17. Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. What is in our heart? What is in your heart? What is in our heart will be spilled out at some point by our mouth. Our mouth reveals what is in our heart. Turn to James 1. James 1. And this is interesting. This is a person who's trying to put on a good show. Who's trying to make people think he's saved. He's trying to look like a good Christian. James 1:26. If any man among you seem to be religious. So here's the guy putting on a show. And bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. So we see that even someone who is trying to be a fake, you know, trying to pretend he's a Christian, he knows he's not a Christian, but he's trying to act like it. He knows he's never asked Jesus. Perhaps it's a person who grew up in a Christian home. And yeah, they want to please mom and dad. They don't want to get in trouble. They don't want to be the oddball. But they also didn't ever want to bow their heart and knee to Jesus Christ. But everybody thinks they did. And in order to be on mom and dad's good side, they'll keep on pretending that they're a Christian. But notice, he'll tell on himself. Even the person who is trying to hide his lost condition, his mouth will tell on him. A condition that we are wishing to keep secret, our tongue will reveal. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, that man's religion is vain. Our mouth will tell on us. Watch your mouth. Fix your heart is what it means, because whatever is in your heart will come out. Whatever is in your heart will come out. And the Bible teaches us that our words even have an effect upon our physical body. 1 Peter, please. 1 Peter. We've looked at a few of them already. I've already talked about some of them, some of these verses that talk about our physical body. But 1 Peter 3, verse 10. For he that will love life. Do you want to have a long life? Do you enjoy life? You want to have a long life to serve the Lord in? That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips so they speak no guile. The Bible says there's a consequence for being deceptive. There's a consequence for speaking evil. It affects your body. You won't live as long as you could have if you have a wicked tongue. It affects the years of our lives. Proverbs 16, please. Proverbs 16. Oops, I went to Psalms too far. Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. Very literally, it is described as health to the bones here. Our words build up somebody, not just in spirit, but they can build up their health. They can encourage their actual physical well-being, or destroy it, one or the other. Go back one chapter to chapter 15 and verse 4. Proverbs 15, verse 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Very literally here we're talking about. But perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Your words have an effect upon your life and other folks' lives. You can have a longer life if you speak righteousness. That's what the Bible is teaching. And it's not a promise per se, but it will add health to your life. You will have better health if you are a speaker and teacher of righteousness. But it will be the very opposite if you have a wicked, dirty mouth. So there's a connection between the heart and our tongue. We better make sure our heart is righteous before God. And then I want to look at specifically the specific sins of the tongue. And we're only going to look at about four of them, maybe four of them. I'm already running out of time this morning. But I was able to count 12, I believe it's 12, major sins of the tongue that every other sin of the tongue can fall into. But 12 major categories. And the first major category, the first sin of the tongue is, of course, the lying tongue. The tongue that speaks falsehoods with the intention of misleading others. With the intention of misleading others from the truth. Go back to Proverbs 6, please. Proverbs 6. And we're not going to necessarily describe these sins of the tongue very deeply, because they're pretty well self-explanatory. But we're going to look at the verses that tell us not to do these things primarily. Proverbs 6, verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue. A lying tongue. Do you have a problem? Do you have a problem with lying? God says that a lying tongue is an abomination unto him. And hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies. A false witness that speaketh lies. And then the last one, and he that soweth discord among brethren. There's actually three different sins of the tongues mentioned in this verse that we're going to be looking at. The lying tongue, a false witness, specifically the slanderer, which we're going to look at in just a second. And then the last one, he that soweth discord among brethren, the quarrelsome tongue, or the divisive tongue, if you will. But the lying tongue, God hates it. Proverbs, you don't have to turn there to this one. Proverbs 12:22, again, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. Proverbs 19:5, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. And Proverbs 25:18, a man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. Very destructive. Lies are extremely destructive to your neighbor. Karen, turn around and look at me. Lies are very destructive to your siblings, to your brother, to your sister, to your coworker, to your boss, to every single person. They are a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. How's our tongue? Is it a lying? Would Jesus say, describe your tongue or my tongue as a lying tongue? It's an abomination unto him. And we're given a command. Well, those are all Old Testament, Pastor. Here's a command in the New Testament. Colossians 3:9. Lie not one to another. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Very specific. And very, very commanding. Okay? So it's not just the Old Testament. Don't ever think that the Old Testament does not apply. Jesus reapplied it all, pretty much all of it, in the New Testament again. But under the lying tongue, there are four subcategories that some other sins fall into. And they could all be classified just simply as the lying tongue. But I wanted to look at these also specifically because they're a little bit different, and somebody could have a problem with one of these and not necessarily be full out, you know, a liar. But the double tongue, it's lying, but it's saying one thing to one person and then going to somebody else and stating the opposite. So that now nobody knows what's the true story anyway. Mr. So-and-so said this and to me, and you said Mr. So-and-so said the very opposite. How does that work? How are we going to know what Mr. So-and-so thinks? The double tongue. Turn to Proverbs 14, please. Proverbs 14. This doesn't specifically mention the double tongue, but this verse is an illustration of the two opposites. You know, speaking the truth and speaking a lie. Verse 14, chapter 14, verse 5, a faithful witness will not lie. A faithful witness will not lie. And there is the double tongue telling the truth to somebody. He's telling the truth. That's great. That's good. But then he goes over here and does the very opposite to the next person. But a false witness will utter lies. What good is that type of person? He's still a liar. He's still a liar. Don't have a double tongue. Don't be double-tongued. The next one, the slandering tongue. The slandering tongue. Now, simply broken down, Brother William and I talked about this last night back and forth on the text messages. Broken down, the slandering tongue, very simply, you can define it as a lying tongue. Okay? But more specifically, what is a slandering tongue? It's a tongue that speaks falsely about others, spreading false information. You talk falsely about somebody and spread information, this great big story, totally false about this person. Slander. Exodus 20, verse 16, we're given the command, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. That's talking about telling a story about, you know, in court specifically, bearing false witness in court. Telling a story that, oh, I saw so-and-so stab somebody else. Well, if you didn't see that, you are slandering that person. Okay? Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Turn to Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26. And verse 20. Our memory verse. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. So the word talebearer has the identical meaning as a slanderer. Talebearer is a slanderer. You go and tell false information about somebody. You start to tell a tale, bearing tales around. That a talebearer is a slanderer. Exact same definition. And we're given a direct command about talebearing in Leviticus 19:16. You don't have to turn there. Leviticus 19:16 says, "Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people." Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. I am the Lord, God said. We have the double tongue, the slandering tongue. All of both of these are lying tongues. Thirdly, we have the deceitful tongue. The deceitful tongue. This is somebody who's speaking craftily, speaking cunningly, in order to trick or deceive somebody else. He's not telling the truth. He's telling something that is not true, like the devil did to Eve, in order to trick them into doing something. The deceitful tongue. Also, it's not just that, but it's being cunning and crafty in order to trick or deceive. But it is also, the deceitful tongue is also purposefully using obscure or great big fancy words or phrases to hide facts. Deceit. Purposefully using obscure or big phrases, fancy phrases, to hide the truth from somebody else. That is the deceitful tongue. Turn to Psalm, please. Psalm 34. And there's a lot that could be said about, added to that definition. For instance, if you are somebody who is asked a question, well, did you steal the cookie out of the cookie jar? And then a deceitful person would change the subject. Oh, but Daddy, I saw so and so yesterday. Did he answer the question? No, he didn't answer the question. He changed the subject. The deceitful tongue. So a lot could be added on there. Psalm 34 and verse 13. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. So here, this word guile is the same word as deceitful. It means the same thing. Being guileful or being deceitful. And the Bible very specifically says that guile is evil. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. It's putting them in the same category. Deceit is wicked. Deceit is evil. And Job 27:4, you don't have to turn there, but this one says real quickly, Job 27:4, "My lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit." So there again, God puts deceit on the level of wickedness. Turn to Psalm 10, please. You're right here in Psalm, so go ahead and turn to Psalm 10. You're in Psalms, so turn to Psalm 10. I try to get that correct, the plurals and the singulars of Psalm. But anyway, Psalm 10, verse 7. "His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud." There's another word that means the same thing as deceit, fraud. Deceit and fraud. "Under his tongue is mischief and vanity." All of these, sins of the tongue. And then chapter 36, go to Psalm 36 and verse 3. So fraud, deceit, guile, all the same thing, very much wicked in God's eyes. Psalm 36 verse 3, "The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good." Someone who is being deceitful is committing iniquity. He's no longer wise, the Bible says. He's no longer good. Psalm 50. And verse 19. "Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit." You see how evil, wickedness, and sin are always associated with deception, We are sinning when we deceive somebody else. Children, when you deceive your parents and you do not be truthful, you are telling a lie. You are telling a lie, very plainly. There's more of them. Let me read the rest of these that I have real quick. You don't have to turn there. But Psalm 55:11 says, "Wickedness is in the midst thereof, deceit and guile. Depart not from her streets." Psalm 5:6, "Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing." What is leasing? Again, it's fraud, it's deceit, leasing. "The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man." Psalm 109, verse 2, "For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue." So there very plainly we are told it's a lying tongue. Psalm 120, verse 2, "Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue." Deceit is lying. And then under lying, the subcategory, so we have the slanderous tongue, we saw the double tongue and the deceitful tongue, all lying tongues. The last lying tongue is the exaggerating tongue. And I have to tread carefully so I don't stomp on my own toes too hard, because I wouldn't want to do that. The exaggerating tongue, and I'm preaching to myself just as much as to anybody else here today, by the way. Just want you to know that. The exaggerating tongue, blowing something out of true proportion. Telling, you know, "I ran 50 miles today because you ran down to your mailbox and came back. And boy, you were tired. And so it was a long way, and you wanted everybody to understand how tired you were. Or you caught a 6-inch fish and it was this big." Exaggerating, right? The fish stories get bigger and bigger and bigger the next time you tell them. It's a lying tongue, right? When you boil it down. Go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And we don't have the word exaggerate in the Bible that I know of. I couldn't find it. If you can find it, let me know. So we don't have exaggerate, we don't have exaggeration, so I can't find a verse that talks specifically about this sin. But Matthew 5:37, I believe, alludes to it. Matthew 5:37, "But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil." Is it yes? Then let your communication be yes. Is it nay or no? Then let your communication be no. Don't let those things get a little bit blurry. Don't let them get exaggerated. Yes is yes. No is no. Don't let yes become maybe. Don't let no become maybe. Don't let 6 inches become 12 inches, you know. Don't exaggerate. Keep the yea, yea, and the nay, nay. And James 5:12 tells us about the same thing. "But let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation." So don't exaggerate. It cometh of evil. It's from a lying tongue. So that's the lying tongue. Do we have a lying tongue this morning? Exaggeration kind of steps on my toes a little bit. The angry tongue. The angry tongue is the next one. The angry tongue is uncontrolled, angry, or wrathful words, specifically and especially without cause, without like cause. You know, there's a lot of forgiveness if somebody runs a red light and slams into your car and kills your wife. There's a lot of forgiveness there for getting angry. Okay, not that it's right. Okay, what I'm saying, I'm not defending anybody that gets angry at all for any reason, but there is some understanding for reason behind being angry. People understand that. There's a murder and you're angry that your child got murdered. It's not right. It's still sin. But there's some understanding there. That's what the Bible is talking about. Without cause. Without cause. Whosoever is angry without cause, they're completely wrong. Completely wrong. Go to Matthew 5, please. Matthew 5:22. "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause which shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." Now specifically, you have to translate this verse with the understanding that the this applies to the millennium as far as the judgment goes. This is millennial truth here. Whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment in the millennium. Okay? This is talking about that time period. Right now, it doesn't apply. We're not in danger of the judgment. We are in danger of God's judgment, the Lord Jesus' judgment seat. But this is specifically referring to millennial judgment, okay? So we do need to understand that when we read this passage. But it's talking about uncontrolled, wrathful, angry words are in big trouble with God. Well, we don't want to have an angry tongue. And under angry tongue, there's the person who's holding a grudge. You cannot be a grudge holder and not be angry to some degree. After all, that's why you're holding a grudge, because you are angered at somebody, right? So if you are a person holding a grudge, you have an angry streak in you. And if you ever talk about that grudge, you're going to show forth your angry tongue. Okay? Matthew 6, please. The grudge holding with angry tongue. Matthew 6:14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So don't be holding a grudge. It's part of having an angry tongue. Speaking ill will towards others is part of having an angry tongue. Go to 1 Peter 3, verse 9. Do you go around talking about how, boy, you just wish this guy would, you know, he deserves to have an accident. You know, he just did this to you, and man, that was irritating. And he doesn't even deserve to have a license. He should probably just crash into the next telephone pole because he cut you off. And, you know, is that you on the road? 1 Peter 3:9, that's part of having an angry tongue. Let me find my place. 1 Peter 3:9, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. We're not to be rendering the same like kind of thing. You know, somebody cuts you off. Hey, you're supposed to be, you know, bless them. Well, bless you, my brother. I guess you needed to be at your work faster than I did. You know, it's hard. It's not natural, of course. But we're not to render evil for evil or railing for railing. Speaking ill will towards others, the angry tongue. Speaking hateful speech. This is kind of the same thing, but you can think ill will without speaking it. But hateful speech. Proverbs 16:32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Are you a person of hateful speech? You have an angry tongue, And we're told in Colossians 3:8, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, out of your mouth. Get the angry tongue out of your mouth. Get victory over it. Confess it to God. So we have the lying tongue, the angry tongue, and then we have the backbiting tongue. This is probably the last one we're going to have time to look at today. I'm already out of time. Maybe I can hurry up. The other tongue is pretty slow, pretty normal, short. The backbiting tongue, Psalm 15, please. What is backbiting? Backbiting is talking ill of someone behind their backs, injuring someone's character or reputation through detraction, and it might be true. That's what the difference between slander and backbiting is. Slander is just a lie. Backbiting, there could be some truth. There could very well be true. Telling a story. Well, I saw, and I really did see, brother so and so go into this store, and you know what? I wonder what they're doing in there. But I really did see him go in there. That's backbiting. Telling a true story on somebody to mess up their reputation, to destroy their reputation, or to destroy their character, or bring question upon their character or reputation. Psalm 15. and verse 3. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. We're not to be backbiting. We're not to be telling true, hurtful stories about one another. True, hurtful stories about one another. It's different. Now, we're not talking about do not report a true story to someone in authority who can do something about it. That's not backbiting. But to report a true story, a damaging true story to somebody else who has no authority to do anything about it, who couldn't help the situation if he wanted to, that is backbiting, okay? Proverbs 25, please. Proverbs 25. In verse 23, I'm in Psalms. There is no Psalm 25, verse 23. Proverbs 25 and verse 23. The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. If we're the recipient of backbiting, how should we respond? Not angry, but sternly. I don't want to hear that. That's wrong. You shouldn't be telling me this true story about so-and-so, even if it is true, because I can't do anything about it. You're backbiting. This is how we ought to respond to someone, whether it's a brother, Christian, sister, anybody, lost person, who tells us a true wicked story or evil story, damaging story about somebody else. Be stern. Cut it off. You shouldn't hear it. It's not your business. Proverbs 22:1. Proverbs 22:1. We want to have this. If we're someone who always listens to the nasty things of other people's lives, pretty soon we are not going to have this in our own life. But this is what we want. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. But if you become one of those who, what if so-and-so do? Pretty soon, we're not going to have a good name, are we? Well, brother Derek, he likes to hear all the bad stuff people do. He can't, he doesn't do anything about it, but he sure likes to hear all the bad stuff. The backbiting tongue. We're not to be participating either the sender forth of backbiting or the hearer of backbiting. And the proud tongue, let's see if we can get through this one. We've got 8 more next week to get through. The proud tongue, pretty simple. We're talking about the boasting, bragging tongue. Very proud about himself. Psalm 12, please. Psalm 12. These are all specific sins of the tongue. Psalm 12 and verse 4. Who have said, with our tongue will we prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy. Now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. God does not want us to be the boastful tongue. He said, I'll defend those whom you are boasting over. I'm not going to help you. I will help the one that you are proud and prancing over on top of. Proverbs 12, please. Proverbs 12. And verse 23. Proverbs 12, 23. A prudent man concealeth knowledge. There's this person who is not going to backbite right there. But the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. This is a great definition for the braggart right here, is what I thought. You want a definition for somebody who has a bragging mouth, a proud tongue? He has the heart of a fool proclaiming foolishness. The heart of a fool proclaiming foolishness. There's the braggart right there. But go to James 4, please. James 4. This is what the New Testament specifically says about bragging, but not even necessarily bragging on purpose, just, you know, basically take, you know, leaving God out and saying, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And of course, it also includes bragging that, oh, I'm going to go make a lot of money. Verse 13 of James 4, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, will we go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain? This is what I'm going to do? How do you know? Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. This is what God thinks of a proud tongue, a boasting tongue. And we know that 1 Corinthians 13:4, in closing here, 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. A charitable heart doesn't do this. When we do this, we are not showing forth the charity of God. That's probably the biggest, the worst part about a bragging tongue. He's not showing forth the charity, the true love of Jesus Christ. You are damaging your Savior's name. But how are we? How is our tongue? Do we have a proud tongue? Do we have a lying tongue? Do we have a? And I'm forgetting what I covered here today. Somebody help me. The backbiting tongue, proud tongue, slandering tongue, the lying tongue, an angry tongue, exaggerating tongue, deceitful tongue. One more under the lying. Exaggerating, deceitful, slandering. Backbiting is slightly different, telling the truth on purpose. But the double tongue, slandering tongue, deceitful tongue, exaggerating tongue, backbiting tongue, angry tongue, and proud tongue. How's our tongue? What's the condition of our tongue today? Would Jesus tell you, if he were to sit next to you and tell you the truth, and he will, you have a problem with this one. This one is you. Derek, this one is you. You've got an exaggerating tongue. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. And Father, help us to control our tongues. Oh, how damaging they can be. Destroying lives, destroying churches, wrecking everything that our tongue hits upon, every life. So Lord, help us to control our tongues and to have an exhorting tongue. A person who is always looking to build the next person up in some way, to encourage them, to challenge them, to do right even. That's helpful. But Lord, to be an encouragement all the time. Help us to be that person with that tongue. Bless now the invitation, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.